Blog Talk Radio.
Options Show, Direction for Truth, with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, and thank all of you for being here. For those of you who were with us pre-show, we were looking at how to put out fire with sound. We're going to show you that. But tonight, we're going to share with you how you can find your own direction for truth. We've been talking about bullies. So we're going to figure out together, and I put some examples together, but I didn't put the whole show together because this is going to be audience participation. We're going to figure out how to tell a bully what they want, where they're coming from, and what their weaknesses are so that you can spot a bully and just clamp him down. One of the fastest ways is only insecure and small people need to be bullies. So remember that sentence when it comes up. We are simultaneously broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio with Richard over there, 347-850-1407. And then if you want to watch the show, and this is going to be a particularly interesting watch show, go to soundhealthoptions.com, go to radio, and then Direction for Truth, where it says how to identify the traits of a bully. You ever been bullied, Richard?
Yes, when I was younger, elementary and high school. I reacted badly.
What did you do?
By the time I got to high school, because I went to school from kindergarten all the way through high school with the same people, that at some point in high school, I got big enough and strong enough that somebody was bullying me, and one day I just literally picked him up by the collar and threw him up against the wall and said really bad things to him, and he got that I didn't want to be messed with anymore. And I was the nature of like I am now.
Do you think that's what it takes, some kind of fight, some physical issue, or do you think you can do it with words?
I think now I could do it with words, although at some point, particularly with guys, if they're both pumped up, I'm not a fighting person, never have been. And I've never been a physically aggressive person. I might be verbally, but not physically. And I think it takes a lot of skill to take men when they're at it to, like, get it to, okay, can we back up and actually talk about this instead of having to get, like, I must beat you to pulp. So I think it's really tricky.
If I said, Richard, I really think you're ugly, your purple skin is just really so ugly I can't stand it, what would you say to me?
I'd probably, once I got through laughing, I would, just blow it off. I wouldn't take that, I'd know you were nuts.
A lot of bullying.
Not that I'm a Rock Hudson kind of guy, but I'm like, really? That's what you're going after? That? There are many things you could go after. So I would always, and that's what I learned to do in school. That's where I got that more comedic sense and learned to be, more of a satirist, was by, that's how I defended myself growing up, was by words, by sparring with people, by that kind of conversation versus like, I have a bigger fist, I beat you to pulp.
Well, that's one of the reasons I ask you about being purple, because you're the one that gives credence to what the bully is saying.
Yeah.
You're the one that takes it in and claims it, owns it, and begins to feel it. So you just laugh at somebody because you don't have purple skin. So what else don't you agree with them, or why they're trying to push your buttons? So one of the things that I like to share with people when there's this kind of situation going on is the one thing, the one meaningful thing that I learned in 6 or 8 years of college. Most of the courses I could have taught after the second week or so, they were silly. It was the professor up there reading the textbook that you already read. It was incredibly judgmental of me to say that. And I'm going to talk about some judgmental things all the way along here, because that's what this really is about. And judgmental is just one kind of bullying. But if you divide your communication up into three components, and if you stay with judgmental, you're going to feel bullied and bad and whatever. You can be evaluative. You can be descriptive. So let's talk about those three things. And you've heard this before, Richard, so humor me. If I go to Richard's house and I say, oh, I'm just really hungry, and he says, well, good God, you weigh 400 pounds. You really think you ought to eat? That's being very judgmental. Evaluative means that, well, I'll get you something right away. You think you ought to fill their need. So he'd say, well, there's food in the fridge. Can I warm it up for you? So you're serving them. And descriptive, well, when's the last time you ate? 4 o'clock. Well, no wonder you're hungry. Staying very descriptive with people keeps them from being judgmental, keeps you from being judgmental. And I happen to think that other people who are judgmental are the ones that are going to pay the most price for their judgments and holding on to all that stuff. But that's just me. So there's an article I found about Monica Lewinsky, who did a great job on TED Talks about her affair with Clinton and what was going on. So I'd like to play just a few minutes of introduction to that. This is her on TED Talks March, last month. Remember, she's the one that had the, I didn't have sex with that woman person, and then they tried to ruin her life and all that. So just a few minutes of it.
For a decade. Obviously, that's changed, but only recently. It was several months ago that I gave my very first major public talk at the Forbes 30 Under 30 Summit. 1,500 brilliant people, all under the age of 30. That meant that in 1998, the oldest among the group were only 14, and the youngest, just 4. I joked with them that some might only have heard of me from rap songs. Yes, I'm in rap songs. Almost 40 rap songs. But the night of my speech, a surprising thing happened. At the age of 41, I was hit on by a 27-year-old guy. I know, right? He was charming, and I was flattered, and I declined. You know what his unsuccessful pickup line was? He could make me feel 22 again.
This is her talking about her affair with Clinton and the price it took on her life. So I decided to, well, actually it was Richard's idea, to look at her voice between 1998 when this happened, which is what she's talking about, when it all broke in the papers that she was having sex with the president in the Oval Office, and it involved a cigar and no actual sex, but a blue dress, and you probably know all about this. So she's come back out again. And she's talking about bullying and how she was bullied. I will put the link in the chat for you because it's a very worthwhile half hour. You've watched all of this, Richard. Can you add a bit to what she says?
It's really amazing to see her. The first thing that shocked me was that it was 17 years ago. That was shocking. The other thing was that, I mean, she really had a lot of really good things, you know, smart things to talk about cyberbullying, where people go on Twitter and beat up other people and beat on people. And, you know, it really is bullying. And she talks about some incidences where a young man, I believe, committed suicide from being bullied on Facebook. And how we have a whole new kind of bullying, this social media bullying, where people can get on a, you know, pulpit about something and just mercilessly lay into somebody in a way that they probably wouldn't do in person. And I suspect that there are people on social media who, if in person, wouldn't have the stature to be a bully, because typically bullies are, you know, like something. Whereas in social media, it can be anything. And she talks a lot about that, and it was a really, it's a really worthwhile watching talk.
Well, here is an article written about Monica Lewinsky in 2014 about some of the speeches she had given about how people bully. And as you read this article about from Andrea Payser, P-E-Y-S-E-R, and I'll put that link in there too because it's important. It is a very good example of article bullying. Okay, it says, Monica Lewinsky cuts a tragic comic figure. Now, saying she cuts a tragic comic figure is a clue that she's going to be nasty. Faced with advancing age, I mean, she's 41, and zero prospects for a job, a romance, or a reunion with her one-time obsession, former Bill Clinton. Now, you look at the picture of Monica Lewinsky here. She's beautiful. But for this woman to say zero prospect for a job or a romance, she goes, members of my 15-year-old daughter's generation pity Lewinsky for playing the loser, at least of those who've ever heard of the lady who failed to dry clean a blue dress stained with the president's seed way back in the 90s and whose surname is a synonymous for a sex act often performed on men by people who are fully clothed. Now, what kind of pathetic, that's judgmental, article is this that she would want to continue this beating down? If you're Monica Lewinsky, now 40, unemployed, single, and rapidly fading into cultural obscurity, you promote yourself as a brand, a professional victim. Now, I don't know how much people get paid for doing these speeches. I don't think they get paid anything for TED, but she's a highly sought at speech maker, whatever you call those. It's just incredible how she has come back. And if you read her story, she has been bullied for years by people trying to undermine her. Every job she got, somebody, I don't know what you call it, lost it for her. She was hounded by Mrs. Clinton's people, and it's in some of the Barbara Walters interviews with her, what really happened to her, how people just, once you're a victim, they just tend to pile on. I think if I had said, this pathetic article by Andrea Nobody, that judging this article. But I think people who write this kind of article are rather pathetic, that they can't see anything good about what this woman is doing. And this was after she started this upward climb on helping other victims. This is at the bottom of this article. It was about a kid that committed suicide. Oh, at age 14, babyface Noel Estevez endured bullying so severe from his former pal, Timothy Crump, also 14, that he feared for his life. He attempted suicide, then he fought back. Now, is there any negative descriptors there? No. She's not blaming the victim. Noel allegedly stabbed Timothy to death last month outside their Bronx school. At first, Noel was charged as an adult with second-degree murder and manslaughter, but last week a grand jury sensibly indicted him on a charge of second-degree manslaughter. Now he'll be tried as a juvenile in family court and no longer faces a life prison sentence if convicted. The same writer gives a totally different picture. She's not attempting to bully this kid, although she did it to Lewinsky. You wonder if they've been paid off to do this, or this is just a media agreement that we're going to jump on this woman and just ground her to the dust. Why was this situation allowed to foster? And talking about Noel again, Noel's dad had requested a transfer from the school, which was denied. Complaints to police and child welfare officials went nowhere. Nothing will bring back Timothy, whose tragic death might have been prevented by adults. But justice will be served only if Noel is found innocent. That's a very supportive kind of article. And one of the things that this author suggests, and one of the things that Monica Lewinsky suggests, is that we try to help people before the bullying tries or is starting to take place. So I decided that I wanted to share with you guys the idea of how to spot a bully. So we're going to use the Nano Voice program, which is completely free on our site. And you just go to soundhealthoptions.com. You know, I forgot to make any announcements. We'll do them at the end. Okay. So we are going to look at the Nano Voice graph, and it is the notes of C, C sharp, D, D sharp on a blue grid with a column for up for each of the notes, and then there's a grid across that tells you the octave. And this -3 octave is a foundational octave for males. -2 is the foundational octave for females. 0 is a childlike octave. No, I just told you guys wrong. And I should have found, let me see if I can find octave layers so you guys can give a screenshot. So I could make this bigger. So this -3 is a gut level, an instinctual level. -2 is foundational layers for males. -1, foundational for females. 0, childlike. +1 is fantasy. And +2 is just way out there in non-reality. So let's keep that in mind as we look at some of the information about what each of these notes represent. Now, before we start, Richard, can you give me some traits, or anybody out there, give me some traits that you think a bully would have?
Well, my immediate thought is insecurity, because usually it's an aggressive act because they're insecure in some way. Judgment, insecurity.
Okay, insecurity. Insecurity. If we go back and look at some of the information of what these notes stand for, hold on 1 second. I've got an important thing here. Julian, would you stay with us after the class, and I'll answer that, because it's something, if you know an answer, we need to talk about it. Okay. Let's look at the note of C. And this is on our website, soundhealthoptions.com. Go to downloads, double click. Nano Voice is there. And under Nano Voice, you can download this graph that I'm showing. So you said two things. Lack of, what was the word you used?
I said insecurity.
Insecurity. So if C is an ego, a bully would have a large ego, but somebody insecure would have a small note of C, right? So
mm-hmm.
if we look at the graph, and we look at someone's voice, the note of C, the higher the note of C, the more they are a personal bully. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And 42 is about normal when we look at this. All the instructions for running this are on the website, and you can also request something called a tiny nano manual that will give you more information. So we're just using that already, that information that most of our listeners have, and looking at this. So the other thing that you said was lack of self-security.
Self-esteem. I use the term less than, but yeah, lack of self-esteem.
Lack of self. Okay, I'm writing it down. Okay, you said a second one.
I'd use a term, a psychological term, that's less than, which means you're operating from a thinking or a position of being less than the other person. And I've seen that in situations where they feel less about themselves, so they act out aggressively.
Okay, so that would still be the note of C.
Okay.
Wanting something done your way, it would be C sharp. Champion of justice, fair play, hard on self, stubborn, hard on others. If your C sharp is very high at the top, it's going to be my way or the highway, but very low, I'll go along with whatever you say. So we now have C and C sharp would be involved here. Any other traits for a bully? Anybody put obsessive, compulsive? Okay, where would obsessive, compulsive be on here? They want everything done right, exactly their way. They want to manage everything. They want to micromanage everything. That might be A, because they're the manager. It also could be G, physical manager. It could be A, I want, or B here, I want everything in the universe to go my way. Gaddafi had a very, very high B. He felt like he knew what was best for everyone else. C sharp, I think, also denotes best for everyone else, that you know what's going on. So obsessive. People who are obsessive usually have low calcium, and that's the note right between D sharp and E. So we might put down D sharp and E as compulsive. D lets people run over them because that's all about self-approval. And most bullies, if you will stay out of emotions, they don't have a leg to stand on. Well, I hate you because of your purple skin. You hand it right back to me and say, well, tell me why you think my skin is purple. Make them validate what they're saying to you. So obsessive compulsive, somebody put in. Powerful. Bullying somebody with words would be the note of E. Bullying somebody to do it your way and not theirs might be an unbalance between F and F sharp, because that's a balance between perception and action. If somebody just wants to control what's going on, control the project, control the direction, then you're going to have a lot of F. F is a control of physical. Controller, do it my way. G is more of the person who actually builds the stuff, not just with words and plans, but actually the brick and mortar kind of thing. And then A is the person who just wants to manage. Now, for those of you who are new with us, remember, well, not remember, but when we look at someone's voice, it'll show up in yellow columns, and that's think. It'll show up in blue, that's feel. Red is react. And green is do. So when we begin to look at some of these people's voices, we can see what kind of bully they really are. So have any questions about what we might be looking at? We're going to use this chart to try to discover some bullying and what's going on. One of the things I looked at is bullies don't often think things through. Or people who are being bullied don't have a way out. So I'm going to bring in Monica Lewinsky from her 1998, 1999, thing with Monica Lewinsky as she was on the Barbara Walters show. And here's just a little bit of it. This is what she looked like then.
The President of the United States.
Then, her feelings of...
Okay, do you hear all that music in the background? I put that there deliberately because you never want to start there. So if it's got music or clicks, and a lot of times the stuff that's been put out right now has a lot of clicks in it. So you want... That's really hard to edit. So wait till all that is by and then begin to organize this. Even if you have to get Barbara Walters on there, do it with Audacity. And remember, too, that there is a textbook on our site under Downloads. Go to the bonus software. Okay, I will. Hold on one second. Go to Downloads. Go to Bonus Software. And it's pre-VAC this month, and that's about depression and suicide and that kind of thing, so it fits right in. Go down to the bottom, number 5, there's a textbook there. It's blue and yellow mostly. Double-click on that, and you can download it. So all the instructions that we're talking about, we looked at that information from the website, and I found this on YouTube. So I put this on Audacity. Here's a little bit about it.
What would you like to give me?
The music is still there.
Why did Monica confide in Linda Tripp? And later,
I want to ignore all of that.
I had had a relationship with a married man before, and I knew the rules.
You'll understand the president as you may never have before, and the woman desperate to love him.
Where was your self-respect? Where was your self-esteem?
Plus, the secret she has never revealed, and questions that have not been answered until now.
Did you feel that you were in competition with Hillary Clinton?
Tonight, the private affair, the national scandal, the public fallout. Monica Lewinsky describes it all in her own words. This 2-hour presentation, March 3rd, 1999. And now, Barbara Walters.
Good evening. For the past...
She's describing.
Come on,
get that.
A seductress? Describe yourself.
I think I'm very loving. I'm very loyal. I think I'm intelligent. I think I certainly feel that I have been misportrayed in the past year, and unfairly so.
Okay, I have her vocal print. What do you think it's going to look for or look like?
Blue, childlike.
Childlike. She's not going to have a strong foundation. She doesn't. Very little in gut level. A little bit in male foundation. Some in female foundation, but only E and F. Talk about the perceptions. Talk about the plan. Look up here in fantasy. 238 in the note of C sharp. Now, what did we say about C sharp? Justice, fairness. That's what they want. When it's that high, it's my way. She's fantasizing that this talking to Barbara Walters is going to cure this. But the biggest thing you notice about her, or I notice, is she's scattered. She's scattered every place. There's big holes in what she's feeling and what she's saying. But she wants justice. but it's on a fantasy level. She's trying to make it happen, but she has very little foundation. She only has words and a bit of a plan. So she's probably strategized with somebody about what's going on here. Now, we heard a little bit about her on TED Talks. See if you can tell any difference in the voice.
I realized later that night, I'm probably the only person over 40 who does not want to be 22 again.
And when she's laughing, I thought this was tremendous. Now, I had to sort of weed out and only do the pieces where she was laughing. But look at her laugh. And wouldn't you know it? I don't see the laugh. It's not there. I can't believe I didn't bring this from home. Oh, that's 1999 when she was on Lewinsky. On Barbara Walters. I didn't bring it. Isn't that awful? Oh, there it is. This is when Monica laughed. Looking what laughing
wow.
at herself did. Isn't that incredible?
I've never seen any of the number charts, and you know how I like the numbers. With that many spaces filled, that's amazing.
Well, Olson, remember her, Gwen Olson? When she was telling
yeah.
the truth about how the pharmaceutical people wanted her to train people to stay sick? Her voice print looks like this, and so does Ron Paul. But that was just her laugh. I think that is absolutely incredible. Now, look at her at TED Talks. She has a foundation. She's not up here in fantasy about C sharp. She's leaving that open. But look, 143 in fantasy. She thinks this is the betterment for everyone concerned if she brings this through. But you get Gaddafi up there, and a couple of times Obama has been up there. That they know better for people than people know themselves. But her strength lies in F sharp. She has a plan and she has a way to carry it through. And she has a lot of foundation. Her D sharp is information broker, and that's filled on 4 octaves. She is tremendously better than she was. She's not that scared, scattered person anymore. She has a mission, and she's not a bully. She has no C sharp or C, the two biggies that we thought would be bully. Her self-approval is still non-existent, but I brought this up because sometimes when you don't need to work on your self-approval, there can be nothing there because the lesson is learned. I don't think that's true with her, but I think from listening to her voice, that she is going to be doing a lot for bullying and cyberbullying. And I'm hoping in teaching you guys this, we can help also for you to look at it. Notice that in F, when we said that's the controller, that's the person who wants to control everything, it's not there. And her biggest plan here is thinking about it and carrying it out. A lot of yellow in F sharp. I've got a plan. I want to carry it out to manage to what I think would help others. I applaud her. I think this from where she came from, and if you read her story or listen to any of the interviews, you know that she was browbeat excessively by the government, by the administration. She was drugged through the dirt. She was betrayed. Her people who she thought were friends were really people who were put there to betray her. And I think that's the biggest thing. You look at the little 14-year-old that killed himself. It was a betrayal. His school wouldn't help him. His dad tried. Nobody would help him get out from under this bully. Nobody would believe him. I don't know what else they could have done. But my hat off to Monica Lewinsky, and that she did not commit suicide in all of this. If she was a kind of emotional person who didn't have their feet under them, she would be blue. All of this information would probably be blue. And B, a lot of B, and she had 143 up here. That's somebody that you would want to watch if it was in a foundational level. But hers is in a fantasy level. So it's not in her character today to commit suicide. So let's go back and look at her in Barbara Walters. There's somebody has their mic open. I'm going to close your mic, unless you want to say something. You could write it to me. If you want to say something, just raise your hand. So I decided I was going to look at a couple of, any comments about this, Richard, and evaluating it.
No, it's really interesting. I brought up the note correlate chart and had it on my screen while you were talking, and it's a great combination to see the nano voice and hear that, and it helped plug in pieces of information. Because I refer to the note correlate chart, but then I look at the numbers and I kind of disconnect them, and to connect them together is really powerful. Just the simple information of reading, you know, the emotional or physical and seeing that in her voice, it's a great combination.
The F, the planner, the ability to see flaws in others, a balance between perception and action. And look at her fantasy level of B. Link between self and universe needs harmony and balance. I think this is a great way to be able to show people this instead of doing it for them all the time. If it's somebody they want to know if they're telling the truth or not. To teach you to do this, I think, is just incredible. One of the people who I think is an absolute bully is Al Sharpton. Have you ever heard Al Sharpton speak or...
Multiple times.
Let me see if I can find him. I thought I had him up here. Here it is. He is the guy that was trying to stir up the stuff in Ferguson, about Michael Brown and what they needed to do and black people count. The things that I consider myself pretty normal. The things that a normal person would already embrace and be living with, he tries to stir them up from roots again. But that's my opinion about this. Here is him talking at, I don't know if this is the funeral.
One day, the world.
This is not Al Sharpton yet.
Michael Brown does not want to be remembered for rights. He wants to be remembered as the one that made America deal with how we're going to police in the United States. This is about justice. This is about fairness. And America is going to have to come to terms with there's something wrong, that we have money to give military equipment to police forces. But we don't have money for training and money for public education and money to train our children.
Is he a bully? Is he just saying something that's true? Proportionally, I totally admit that there's more blacks in prison, that they have less opportunity. But why not put the money in the schools and support for the community instead of asking everybody to be the policeman? It's too late then when everybody wants to be the policeman. So here's Al Sharpton. his information is in the female octave of foundation. Very little gut level. About half, if this was really coming from his guts, and that's where he's speaking from, you can hear it coming from his guts. But look up here in fantasy. My way, just as my way. Information brokering my way. And 194 over here in the note of B. This is a bully. I did two pieces, one where he was talking about the situation, and then one in which he was talking about what the people are going to do, what he's going to lead them to do. His ego, 187, remember, normal's 42. 187 in Never Never Land, out there in the middle of nowhere. And in his foundation, which is female, and I'm not saying anything about his gender, it's just that that emotional octave, minus one, what we call a female octave, is the feel it. The minus two, the male, is get up and do it. So he has very little in the male octave of get up and let me fight. Like Richard said, he just piled somebody into the wall. So his energy would be down in this minus two for male, do it, roughhouse, kill him energy. In the female, let me persuade you emotionally, 163 in I have a plan, balance between perception and action, and I'm going to do it with words, 145. But a lot of his energy is up in fantasy. This man does not have a strong ego except in Never Never Land. Now, you'd think somebody who had this kind of push would have more solid foundation. I bet if we did Martin Luther King, we would find a very solid foundation. Al Sharpton, it looks like from his vocal prints, is just a man of words, not action, not reality. He lives in fantasy land. So how would you deal with him as a bully? He wants things his way on a gut level. But where is his weakness? Where does he have less information? Probably over here in A sharp, management for a spiritual reason. Now, wouldn't you think that he, as a spiritual leader, and that's what they call him, would have more foundation in a spiritual level? It's up in fantasy. He's a wannabe. You would have to bring him down to reality and say, show me why you're saying this. Show me what you mean by this. There's very little behind his words, just emotion. So this is where you become very descriptive with him. You said this. Tell me why you said that. It's only words to him. It doesn't get to his gut level. It doesn't get to his foundation. He could be toppled easily by somebody who had the facts. Is that helpful? When you see somebody up in
fantasy? To me, you know, it's really helpful for me to get an angle to look at the chart and think about it that way, how to actually, you know, approach somebody like Sharpton, who is that loud. He speaks in a what I would call sort of a soft, well, not exactly soft. He's a preacher by nature. You know, he has that at the pulpit speaking something voice. But yet, that's a hard voice to approach to be able to. But to have that kind of information from the chart is really powerful to say, oh, you like challenge him with facts. Where are the facts in what you're talking about? How do you know that?
Well, one more, and then we have one that the government is doing right now that I think is atrocious. this is an advertisement. I need to get by the advertisement.
Here at AccuWeather, we get up to 10.
Let me go ahead without a the words here. But this is about Obama on Iran and how it's going to be done one way.
We're just seeing the chart. We're not seeing what you're showing, what you're talking about.
Okay, well, I was trying to get through the commercial. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry.
We'll run this ahead a little bit. I think this is in the Oval Office. And this is...
This at this really historic juncture.
Good to be with you.
Iran relations. So, you know, as I think about it, you've actually had the most intimate and direct negotiations with the Iranian leadership of any president since 1979.
Mm-hmm.
What have you learned from it?
Well, I think that it's important to recognize that Iran's a complicated country, just like we're a complicated country. There is no doubt that, given that there is no immediately, the activity...
Okay, that's the beginning of it. So let's look at that beginning where he was just describing the problem. And I have two of them here. Actually, three. On Iran leadership. I don't know which one this is. But he's just describing it. Look at the solid gut level. He's going to dig in and do his own thing. He thinks he knows what he's talking about. 129 in fantasy on information broker. Immediately, don't believe what he's saying. His words, information brokering, D sharp and E, the actual words, either written or spoken. So E says the words, D sharp delivers the words in the hope of self-approval. So this first one, he was just talking about Iran leadership, but it gets more interesting, more complicated, and surprising.
That they engage in, the rhetoric, both anti-American, anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, is deeply disturbing. There are deep trends in the country that are contrary to not only our own national security interests and views, but those of our allies and friends in the region. And those divisions are real. But what we've also seen is that there is a practical streak to the Iranian regime. I think they're concerned about self-preservation. I think they are responsive to some degree to their publics.
Can you feel the calm, almost the same cadence all the way across his voice when he's just trying to say these people are good guys? So we're going to stretch across just a little bit to where he's going to talk about what he intends to do.
To him directly. In the letters that he sends, there's typically a lot of reminders of what he perceives as past grievances against Iran. But what is, I think, telling is that he did give his negotiators in this deal the leeway, the capability to make important concessions that would allow this framework agreement to come to fruition. So what that tells me is that although...
I'm going to stop this and roll it over to 4:30. I have that in my notes as the place where he starts talking about what he's going to do.
We simply signal to Israelis, signal to the region, most of all to the Iranians, don't even think about this.
Well, if you remember the speech that I gave to the United Nations, I was very clear that one of the core interests of the United States, in my mind, and this is how our administration operated, is that our allies in the region will be protected. We will work with them and come to their defense. And we don't have a greater ally than Israel in the Middle East. And so, you know, what I have done is instruct my team to work with the Israelis to build on the already unprecedented military and intelligence cooperation that's in place. I think even in the midst of the disagreements that I've had with Prime Minister Netanyahu, both on Iran as well as on the Palestinian issue. I've been consistent in saying that our defense of Israel is unshakable. I would consider it a failure on my part, a fundamental failure of my presidency, if on my watch, or as a consequence of work that I've done, Israel was rendered more vulnerable.
Not just a strategic failure.
And I think that's not just a strategic failure. I think that would be a moral failure. I think that
doing it his way. Most of the time when you look at these, Obama on Iran, and looking at the numbers, you can tell more. But if you look at the leadership here, where it says 10 and then 54 here, while he was talking about this, think. Yellow is think. 54, way above normal. So think, physical control, G sharp, very high, green and yellow, physical control. D, self-approval. Information brokering, and then you can see by the numbers that he believes he's doing the right thing. He doesn't believe that he's bullying in any way. He believes that he can manipulate the information to make you come to a conclusion that this was your issue all along. So not a bully, but somebody who wants to manage you with information. There's a couple other here. Looks like I have, let me see if I can find the last one. I don't know which one I opened. This is the other one where he's talking at the end. Again, not as strong foundation because it's not all the way through. Management martyrdom is gone. CNC Sharp is hidden from his foundation, but you look up in fantasy and his ego is 53. His ego is tied up with this. D Sharp, being the information broker, is 96. Obama is attempting to manipulate based on what information he is providing you. And there is a disconnect between the fantasy and what is really going on. Minus one is empty. So he isn't secure in what he's saying. Even though he has a strong foundation, I would say he's attempting to bully by controlling information with words for an egotistical purpose. Why? The foundation is strong, but it's unbalanced. 10 on the note of D, 217 on the note of D sharp, and 39 on the note of E. D sharp is way out of balance, 6 times, 20 times as high as the other notes beside it. So there is a problem here when we look at how high this red, this react, and red tends to be a physical kind of hurry-scurry bullying. Archie Bunker would be a really good example of a red personality for negative, I will control. But you look at Santa Claus. Santa Claus' personality is red like this, but he's trying to control your behavior all year long. You know, gives you gifts at the end, gives you tax rebates and whatever, but that's the kind of personality that's going on. And there's a lot of things missing when he's talking about how he will handle the leadership of Iran. So a bully? Yes, egotistically. Now, he usually has a lot of C-sharp, but he doesn't here. What he has is a lot of information brokering for the purpose of managing information and what you think about it. This is somebody telling a tall tale for you to think better of him. That I wouldn't say that if he had some kind of fill-in minus one, but he doesn't. He's disconnected. He doesn't even believe it himself on some level. This is a hard one to look at, but anytime you see that disconnect where you can't get to all of the numbers by following filled boxes, you know that there's some kind of personality distortion. And in this case, he's feeding it to himself, information brokering. It may be that somebody gave him wrong information, but I think the president should pay attention, really, to what is going on and what people are posting on his site so he can get a balance of what's going on. There are many, many more of these. Anthony Weiner. I was trying to think of some other bullies. But from the pieces that we've given you, and you can go back and listen to this again in recording, and one of the things that somebody is suggesting in the chat is that there should be a nano study group. If any of you are interested in that, that's kind of what I thought this was, a nano study group. But people are saying they would like to take a personality and walk them all through it and see how they do on their own evaluation. Richard, any comment about Obama here?
As I say, less so about Obama rather than the overall idea of really having the note correlate chart up and watching you talk about it while glancing at the chart at the same time. It's really, yeah, I like the idea of the study group because I think the combination of actually doing it, I don't often do that, and it gave me more information. It was really good. And, yeah, the whole, you know, if they're politicians, if their lips are moving, you know, they're suspicious. That's in my opinion.
Well, here's another one where you can get to any filled box, probably from another box with very few exceptions. Except this little bit on gut level over here in spirituality. So something spiritual is unbalanced. So you begin to look at these numbers. Here's 43 and 43, very balanced. 51, pretty balanced, but then it drops down to 28. So you can look at the unbalance when you look at the colored, the columnar chart. And where he has the note of E, red is tall, react, yellow is tall, think, blue is tall, emotions, get up and get it done, very small. So there's the unbalance in his words. He doesn't even yet know what he's going to do here. And he may pretend, and he may think the president's position will protect him, but he's not so sure about that. Getting it physically done is very tall, 57, but he has a lot of things missing in the middle. The words are there, sort of a plan is there, but how to really get it carried out into physical fruition, you can see that is the smallest part of his chart, except the space over here that's disconnected. But if you take from G-sharp to C as a whole, the problem for him is F-sharp, the balance between perception and action, and how to get a plan into fruition, and then G, how to get a physical fruition. Maybe F-sharp gets it paid for, and G is the actual building they're going to build. So you can look at each piece of this and see where he's disconnected. And you'd think by his words right now that this is the way it's going to be, and he's going to be a bully about it, but he's unsure. You can look at where these connections are disconnected. But look at C-sharp. In Fantasyland 62, he wants it that way. He wants it his way. And 129 in information brokering. Spin. I wouldn't believe him because he doesn't believe himself. I think he doesn't believe in himself, the man, but he believes in himself, the position. And that's what's causing some of the foul up. Oh, well, I only have a few minutes left. And I have something incredibly important I want to share. Well, see, that's my ego saying that I want to share something. If we go back to this one, This is an announcement about the government bullying. Government-run animal control now kidnapping and murdering family pets in America of owners. I'm sorry, I have to sneeze. Don't pay ransom demands. And this is from Mike Adams, and I believe him. I will put pets in the chat.
Gesundheit. Wow.
I had to sneeze and couldn't. That's weird. This is the kind of thing I asked Marie to chop out of the whole thing and edit out. But there's a thing, one woman here, it says the police came to her home, I don't know, an 80-year-old woman, and her church finally helped her pay for this. It was, they came to her house, they took her cats out of her yard and threatened to kill them unless she could come up with $1,200 within 10 days. And there's another one on here that the woman couldn't come up with all of the money, only half of it, so they killed one of her dogs. $1,219 for failing to sterilize, vaccinate, and microchip and license three dogs. Unbelievably, the animal control mafia has even been caught going door to door, issuing huge fines and citations without ever seeing a dog in question. So it says in here to get your dog's license. You know, I don't understand why the government has to issue us a license to have a dog. What business is it of theirs? What do they have to pay? I can see a license for our car, they're paying for the roads. But a license for a pet? I just don't see it. Here is another case described by CNN. An 82-year-old woman was thrown in jail for 2 days after her dogs had gotten loose and disturbed some neighbors. She was threatened by the animal control mafia with a $7,000 fine and a year in jail. 82 years old. A pro bono attorney helped her negotiate the $7,000 bill down to $500, which was paid with the help of her church and her lawyer. So, no guns, threaten your pets, eat GMO foods, drink chlorinated water. So it all comes down, and I'm reading this, is that every government operates as a criminal mafia to achieve the desired aims, controlling your pets, controlling your children, injecting you with medical interventions that profit big pharma, or just brazenly stealing your cash during a routine highway patrol stop. We checked on that a little bit. They were just stopping people. If they had cash, they kept it, trucks, and said, we won't bother you anymore, just let us keep the money. And sometimes it was thousands of dollars. So that's what Mike is referring to. This is America 6 years into the Obama administration and 14 years after Bush oversaw the passage of the Patriot Act police state infrastructure. So protect your animals. Is it the law that they have to be vaccinated and chipped and all that? I don't know. We should probably find somebody that could talk about that. We will try for the next show. Also, one last thing that Richard found, and it was about putting out fire. Well, now I can't see it. Putting out fire with sound. Monica, Michael, Obama, Monica. Ah, here it is. And we have tested this. Let's run it back a little bit. For those of you who are practitioners, they're lighting a pan on fire with some oil or something, and they're putting this thing toward it. Looks kind of like a bucket with the end cut off it. That's two notes together, the G, and it's light reciprocal. If any of you'd like to try to duplicate that, that would be a great thing to have around, wouldn't it, for fire protection? Especially in California and all this drought, that's going to happen. You saw a little picture of a drone there? This is a drone with that sound thing to put out fires. Is that phenomenal? People are sending me things every day. I'm loving it. And we look at them, find out what it is, see if we, the public, can go ahead and build them, because somebody's going to make these illegal, because they're going to say it hurts somebody's eardrums or something. Last thoughts, Richard?
I think the sound thing is really cool. I have things to complain about, but I'll save them for another time.
Okay. Because it's 7:05. Wow.
Exactly. I don't want it to go more over. I have things I could squawk, but I'll save them till Sunday.
I think Stephanie is going to be on the show, Sanef. What is the things that she's going to talk about, her all of her new stuff?
You know, the Stephanie Sanef, who's a lead researcher at MIT, who we had on last year talking about statins and that whole mishmash from her research. And, you know, I asked her if she wanted to come back on and talk about the update about the glyphosate being removed and what that's going to do, and also her thoughts on dicamba and other, you know, areas that she's bumped into, because I know she's an ongoing researcher.
What is dicamba?
Dicamba is a thing. It's actually a sort of a derivative or a spin-off of the old Agent Orange. They want to kind of bring in dicamba to replace some of the glyphosate. They were going to try and combine it with glyphosate before that became supposedly made soon, or in some decade, to be made not to be used anymore, because people are going, oh, why, that's bad. So they're going to use dicamba instead, which was, as I say, a chemical derivative off of Agent Orange, which is a defoliant. So I thought we'd get our opinion on that as well.
Yeah, we have the antidotes for Agent Orange and how it relates to birth defects. Maybe we can talk about that.
Cool.
That would be great. Thank you, people. If you want to go ahead and grab the chat, there's some wonderful things and leads going on there. Thank you, Richard, for being the producer extraordinaire on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
This will be up on Stitcher when?
Stitcher probably within 20 minutes to half an hour. iTunes a little slower just because it's such a Leviathan. But you can also, you'll be able to hear the replay of the audio part of the show, the Blog Talk Radio, if you go to the homepage of soundhealthoptions.com. Down there in the lower left-hand corner, there's a player of the last five shows. And I would say within 15 minutes, possibly sooner, this show will be appearing in that player there.
Okay, this really is a show that you need to watch, though, so we'll try to get this up as soon as possible. There are people here I didn't see in the chat. They're saying some of the other traits are belligerent, anger, failure to see reason. All of that physical active stuff is CNC sharp, and failure to see reason is going to be F and F sharp probably, or F sharp and G. So we will talk to you later.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. See you Sunday.